It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Days of Halloween.
To me, one of the most terrifying concepts that has ever been shown on film or ever been reported by paranormal enthusiasts slash experiencers is E.T. abduction, being taken by extraterrestrials aboard a ship, zapped from your own bed or wherever the heck you might be, put on a ship, thrown on a table, and having all kinds of weird medical procedures performed on you. You know, the idea that they're going to cut and splice you against your will and you can't do anything to fight back. These beings with gigantic black eyes staring into your soul, wanting so desperately to carry out their medical exams or whatever the heck it is they want to do. Just absolutely terrifying, the idea. There's been many movie depictions of this, and some of them are very, very graphic. I can't think of a more scarier thing to have happen to you. And there's so many people out there who have experienced this ET alien abduction phenomena and have gone into great detail to describe it. My opinion, Betty and Barney Hill's alien abduction story defined that genre. Their account, recovered with help of hypnosis, detailed extensive medical exams, including a crude pregnancy test, thought coursed through Betty and Barney Hill's mind as they drove down the empty winding road in New Hampshire's White Mountains. Is it chasing us? It was September 1961. They hadn't seen a car for miles, and a strange light in the sky seemed to follow them. When they finally got to the Portsmouth at dawn, they were far from relieved. They felt dirty. Their watches stopped working. Barney's shoes were strangely scuffed, and Betty's dress was ripped. There were 2 hours of the drive that neither of them could remember. What had happened? With the help of a psychiatrist, the two eventually revealed a startling story. Gray beings with large eyes had walked them into a metallic disc as wide, Betty said, as her house was long. Once inside, the beings examined the couple and erased their memories. Their experience would kick off an Air Force inquiry, part of the secretive initiative Project Blue Book that investigated UFO sightings across the country. The incident would also become the first ever widely publicized alien abduction account and shape how stories like it were told and understood from then on. Debate continues as to whether the husband and wife were liars, fantasists, crackpots, or simply sleep-deprived people who later recovered seriously scrambled memories. But this isn't just really... This is just the tip of the iceberg. The Hills road trip was spontaneous. A well-earned break, Barney decided the couple needed, as explained in the Interrupted Journey, in 1966 book they collaborated with author John G. Fuller. Barney worked a grueling night shift at the post office, driving 60 miles every day. Betty's job handling state child welfare cases was no easier. The little free time they had, they decided to do this. After 16 months of marriage, Betty and Barney saw this trip through Montreal and Niagara Falls as their delayed honeymoon. They left so impulsively they had no time to go to the bank before it closed for the weekend. They got in their car with less than $70 in their pocket. On the last night of the three-day trip, the tired couple sipped coffee in a Vermont diner to recharge before driving back. Barney figured if they pushed through, they could beat the wind and rains from an approaching hurricane. They left the diner around 10 o'clock p.m., estimating they could reach their red-framed house in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, between 2 and 3 a.m. at the latest. As they drove, strange light in the skies gave another reason to hurry. At first, it looked like a falling star, but grew larger and brighter with each mile. Barney, an avid plane watcher and World War II vet, was sure they had nothing to worry about. It's just a satellite, he assured Betty. Probably went off course. The light seemed to move with the car as Barney steered down the curving mountain road. The light zigged and zagged, ducking past the moon behind the trees and mountain ridges, only to reappear moments later. Sometimes it seemed to move forward. Then, in a game of cat and mouse, it had to be an illusion, they thought. Maybe the car's movement made it seem like the light, too, was moving. Curiosity overcame them. The couple pulled over to a road stop, and Picnic turned up to get a closer look. Through binoculars, Betty saw the white light was really an object spinning in the air. Barney, she told her husband, if you think that's a satellite or a star, you're being completely ridiculous. He knew she was right. Barney had an IQ of 140, noted Fuller in his book. Barney was also a pragmatic man who wouldn't give flying saucers a second thought. Remembered his niece, Kathleen Meriden, in her book, captured the Betty and Barney Hill experience. The night was too quiet for a helicopter, a commercial plane, or even a military jet with a hotshot pilot. Didn't want to spook Betty, but he was becoming concerned. What was this light? Why was it toying with them? About 70 miles past the diner, the object hovered just above the treetops, approximately 100 feet above him. Barney abruptly stopped the car, keeping the engine running. He shoved a handgun he'd hidden beneath the seat into his pocket and rushed into a dark field, leaving Betty in the car. What he saw was as big as a jet, but as round and flat as a pancake. My God, what is this thing? He recalled, thinking, this can't be real. He had a startling thought. We're about to be captured. Yelling hysterically, he ran back to the car and barreled down the road as Betty tracked the craft, craning her head outside the car window. Without explanation, loud rhythmic beeps sounded from the car's trunk. The couple felt instantly drowsy and lost consciousness. They came to around 2 hours later and 35 miles down the road. In the coming years, with Betty suffering from disturbing dreams and Barney developing an ulcer and anxiety, the couple sought mental help. The two went with Benjamin Simon, a psychiatrist and neurologist who specialized in hypnosis, a mainstream technique at the time. Through months of weekly sessions, Simon helped the couple piece together what they think had happened. A vessel had landed on the Hills' car, putting them to sleep. Afterward, Gray Beans walked them up the long ramp into the spacecraft. Once inside, the Hills were separated, taking turns in an examination room that had curved walls and a large light hanging from the ceiling. Each was asked to climb up on a metal table. The table was so short, Barney's legs hung over the side. During the examinations, the beings removed Betty and Barney's clothes, plucked strands of their hair, took clippings of their nails, and scraped their skin. Each sample was placed on a clear material, not unlike a glass slide. Needles connected long wires probed their heads, arms, legs, and spines. One large needle, around 4 to 6 inches long, was inserted into Betty's belly. This pregnancy test left her twisting in pain. Throughout, a being Barney and Betty called the leader watched from the side. After Betty's examination ended, the beings rushed back into her room, excited. They discovered that Barney's teeth could be removed. Betty laughed, examining that Barney had dentures, a fact of human aging that beings struggled to understand. Later, alone with the leader, Betty asked where the craft had flown, admitting she knew little of the universe. The being joked with her, saying, if you don't know where you are, there wouldn't be any point in telling you where I am. Later on her hypnosis, she drew a star map shown on her ship. In 1965, the Hill story was picked up by a Boston newspaper. After that, everything changed. The quiet couple story became the subject of a best-selling book and a movie starring James Earl Jones. The upstanding civil servants had become celebrity abductees. So there you go. What do you guys think? Why the heck would they want to kidnap us? Do they need us for something? Like, are they harvesting us? Man, it's creepy, creepy, creepy. The idea of being taken by aliens, ugh, I don't know, man. It freaks me right out. I will say this, though. If they're going to take me, hopefully they take a few pounds off me, too. Just lock that off like Bray Alien Friends, and I'll tell you all the secrets of the human race. Hope you guys are enjoying 31 Days of Halloween, the On the Newfoundland Peril Podcast Halloween special. I'll see you guys tomorrow.